This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We thank you for joining us and invite you to be in tune every Sunday on this station.
Jesus once said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we realize how often this can be true, not only of the Pharisees who lived in old, but those of us who live today. We can honor you with our lips, but so often when it really counts, our hearts are far from you. So we pray that you will open this part of the Scriptures to reveal what a lip religion can be like, and to show us that it is only when Christ lives in the heart that truly our Christianity is of value to you and to the kingdom. Hear our prayer, we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Friends in Christ, little is accomplished by a strong religious argument. You seldom, if ever, argue a person into a living relationship with God. But you can hurt friendships and make those who are involved in the argument very uncomfortable. Strong arguments have divided congregations. Well, you might ask, you're talking about strong arguments, should I be apathetic and say nothing when there's an issue at stake? No, not at all. Today we see our Father speaking very forcefully. But I wonder if he doesn't give us a good example when he simply states what the Scriptures say and then leaves the rest to the Holy Spirit. I believe that this is what Jesus is demonstrating in our text, and I'd like to share a few thoughts with you today. Jesus was teaching in the villages around the Sea of Galilee, and the Pharisees had heard that he was making a great imprint into the hearts of many of the people. They were listening. They were coming to hear him. They brought their sick, and he healed them. And so being somewhat worried that there could be a certain movement that was growing and that could hurt their religion, they went to catechize him, to talk with him, to ask him what he was up to. And then they asked him this particular question, which is a part of our text recorded in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark. It begins with the first verse. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders, instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.' You have let go of the commands of God and are handing on to the traditions of men." He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." These are the words of our Lord that serve as our text today. Here the Lord was making it very, very clear to them that it did no good to argue, simply to proclaim the gospel. Little was going to happen as far as these Pharisees were concerned if Jesus argued with them and won the argument. Nothing at all would be of any value as far as the building of God's kingdom was concerned. But rather it was necessary to proclaim the gospel and to show that it was the heart that needed to be changed. And so here he tells us what is found in the heart. Here you find evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Now you say, "Well, that really does not describe me. I realize that I am a sinful person, but not to that extent." Really go over that list, friend. And here we come into such matters as envy and slander and arrogance and folly and greed. Don't we find ourselves there? This comes from out of the heart. And the only way that we can get away from this type of behavior is by living close to the Lord Jesus, who alone is able to clean the heart. The heart of man can be changed, but it can be changed only by Jesus. And so we tell the story of him over and over again. That simple story that I tell you again today, that when man walked contrary to the will of God in the garden, sin entered into this world. And through that sin, we have a broken heart, a heart that is filled with all of these things which are contrary to the will of God. Now, what was God going to do? This made us sinful in every way, and God did not deal with sin well. He could not condone it. And so he sends into this world his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and there he dies on the cross in order that our sins might be paid for. Full atonement is made there at that particular time. And if we will believe in him, he has promised that our sins could be forgiven. Not only that, if we would ask him into our lives, empowered by the Holy Spirit, of course, then he could clean that heart up so it would not be so natural to live in the way that the broken life really is. It doesn't mean that we will not slip and fall. It doesn't mean that we can never totally get away from that sinfulness. But we know that empowered by God, because he lives in our hearts, our lives can be quite different. In fact, Jesus says, you know, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now, that's what our Lord is talking to us about today. He is saying you don't need to spend all of your time denouncing these things that are wrong. There's no sense to argue about them, about envy, about strife, about all of these immoral things that we find around about us. It doesn't do any good. It's good, certainly it's right, to state the position of the Word of God, but then leave the rest to the Holy Spirit and point the individual to Jesus. Let's see how this might work in everyday life. For example, here is a domestic problem. A problem where the family is divided as far as hearing the Word of God is concerned. Perhaps one of the children has arrived at the age of 15 or 16, and some of his or her friends in high school are not going to church. Suddenly, one Sunday morning, this son announces, "I'm not going to church." And the father says, "Oh, yes, you are. As long as you live in this house, you're going to church on Sunday morning." The argument continued. But because father was the head of that house, the boy continued to go to church. But it was not long before he got to be 18 and 19. And he went off to school, and he never darkened the doors of the church. You see, his father had won the argument at home, rightly so, I imagine, but it did not change the heart. That heart did not cry out to God for his word. That heart yet had to see the need of hearing the gospel. That heart thought that he could do it all by himself. But when that heart is changed, then there is a longing for the Word. Then you can't get enough of what Jesus has said, to give you strength when you're weak, to give you direction when you know not which way to go, and to give you forgiveness when you have fallen into sin. Let's take another one. Here is a young lady who slipped and fell, and she finds herself with child. Now the question is, might it easily be glossed over by her having an abortion performed? And so she begins to talk with her parents about this, and they don't know what to say. And there's an argument about it, whether or not she should have the abortion. Now, she knows good and well what the position of her father and mother is. But these parents say, "We'll have to leave it to you and your relationship with God." You see, Mary, that child which is conceived in you, that fetus which is already growing, is created in the image of God. Precious and very important to God. That fetus Jesus Christ died for on the cross. That fetus can grow to be a very, very important woman in this society. It can be very instrumental in building the kingdom of God and serving for the betterment of humanity. Now she's talking to the heart. Now the girl, realizing what the Word of God says, is being addressed in the innermost parts of her being. And then it is, she says, I can't do it. You see, an address to the heart versus words to the head and an argument over a divided, opinioned question. What about reaching out to the lost, with whom we have a good relationship? We chat with these people about everything under the sun. We even talk about our religion, but purely on the external. Both families are church people, one more than the other. But it is very evident that the one is really committed to Christ, and the other one can take it or leave it. You understand that. The people are willing to admit that they have a long ways to go in knowing the Savior as they should. What shall we do? Well, I know that I have stood in the pulpit Sunday after Sunday and approached this particular subject, and I know that nothing was ever done. I've even gone so far as to say to some of these people, you know, he's a good friend of yours. She is one that you can share most anything with. Why don't you talk with him about their relationship with God? And the answer that I got again and again, that's not for me. I don't want to disturb our friendship. It is too meaningful to me. No, I just can't do that. And so it goes on. That's the argument you can have. But one day, when God calls you aside and speaks to your heart, and you see how destitute your good friends are without the Lord Jesus, then from your heart, there is an action that says, I must go, I must talk. When the time is right, I must tell him how I want him as a part of the kingdom of God and not simply the external church. So the witness is made. The witness is made. And the friends say, we've wondered how long it would take you to talk to us. There's a difference about arguing religion and simply talking to the heart about the Lord Jesus. When I read the text and studied it in preparation for this sermon, I came to these words of Jesus when he very clearly says that out of the heart, when it is not reveal to the heart what Christ wants. When Christ does not live in the heart, in other words, out of the heart there comes evil thoughts. True, isn't it? Evil thoughts regarding one another sometimes. Evil thoughts regarding matters that border on hatred. Sexual immorality. innocent as far as the flesh is concerned, but what about the thoughts? Murder? No, we haven't pulled the trigger. But murder that could cause us to hate, greed, malice. We see these things, and we talk about them, and we denounce them in our teaching and in the sermon so often. And rightly so, it is contrary to the will of God. But those things will do no good until that man or that woman is brought into relationship with Jesus Christ. I recently read a book called The Unlike Disciple. It is written by a man whose name is Orus. Was a student at Brown University, an Ivy League school, highly academic. But he had had some contact with what he called evangelicals. He didn't know the real meaning of that word. But people from the far right of a sort of a legalistic Christianity. And he wondered, what are they really thinking? How do they live? And so he enrolled at Liberty University. Both Liberty University and Brown are highly academic. It is not the one was lacking in the academics and the other one had it all. But if you went to Liberty, it was very evident that you were there in a church school. More than that, a church that had a book, 46 pages in length, that would control your behavior while you were at Liberty. It was called the Liberty Way. Rusa was an undercover student. He had presented himself as a Christian. And then at the end of the semester, he left Liberty and returned to Brown. But nothing had really changed in his life. He had tremendous respect for Liberty University in many things that he learned there, and perhaps often longed to be more like they were. But he came home and went back to his old way of living. Jesus Christ did not live in his heart by his own confession. So here you could say was a man who had spent a semester where they were hammering away, arguing about the smaller things of the Christian life. But they had so empowered other things with the message that it laid a shelter over the cross. And nothing changed in his life. The point behind this is that what we need to do is stop arguing and start witnessing to where the power is, the power that is in Jesus Christ, who can not only forgive us and cleanse that heart, but over the course of time can cause it to be a new heart. And when we are in Christ Jesus, we have become a new creation. We minister with the gospel. Amen.
There's life for a look at the sea.
Come into our hearts, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into our hearts, Lord Jesus. For we ask it in your holy name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray today's sermon will bring you strength and joy in the week to come. If you'd like to continue providing the gospel of Jesus Christ even after your time here has passed, you might consider including Christian Crusaders in your estate planning. Estate gifts have become an important part of our ministry and allow you to leave a lasting legacy that ensures many of those who are sick and homebound will continue to hear the gospel for years to come. For more information on estate gifts, please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. All contributions may be directed to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. You can also visit us on the website at christiancrusaders.org. Here, you can find a preview of the upcoming program, read or listen to past sermons, order our 5-volume DVD set, and more. Also, link to or find out more about several new online tools, including podcasts, blog, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. If you'd like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was our radio speaker, the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio speaker since 1962. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously for nearly 73 years.